Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who with the Holy Spirit are three in one. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, our hearts are heavy because of the opportunities that we have lost to share your message. You ask us to do the right thing, but we have too often not listened to your pleas. Be with us this day as we hear your word. And help us, Heavenly Father, to reach that place of godly righteousness that you have placed before us as a goal. We thank and praise you, Heavenly Father, for being here with us, even as we are apart and not together in this sanctuary. Help us, Heavenly Father, to follow your word and your ways in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as we continue in our series entitled Having a Beatitude Attitude, we come to Matthew 5, verse 10, and it reads, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Well, my translation goes something like this. Blessed are those who have an attitude of godly righteousness and do the right thing even when the world finds it wrong. You know, we in America, we have it pretty fortunate in our faith. We are relatively free to worship as we please, when we please, and even where we please. We have certain rights that protect us and a government, for the most part, that supports us. Oh, sure, there are those who openly oppose Christianity. There always have been, and there always will be. There are those who picket certain churches, start petitions to take down Christian monuments, and argue against our beliefs. But for the most part, we are very blessed to have the ability to worship our God with relative ease. And we'll discuss the good and bad of that later. I don't think any of us have had to suffer the kind of persecution we read about in many non-Christian countries, such as Iran and in China, who are two of the fastest growing churches in the world. None of us have had to practice our faith under the fear of imprisonment or even death as they do in those countries. None of us have had been threatened or beaten or ridiculed in front of an angry mob because of our belief that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. None of us have had to stand in a stadium filled with hungry lions because we publicly proclaimed Christ. None of us have had to face a firing squad like Dietrich Bonhoeffer because he wouldn't tote the party line. David Barrett of the World Evangelization Research Center writes, "In one part of the globe, over 10,000 Christians have been killed every year since 1950 due to clashes with anti-Christian mobs, infuriated relatives, state-organized death squads, and so on. His statistics, in fact, reveal that the deaths of Christians for their faith have shown a marked increase since the 1900s, when there used to be around 35,000 a year, the early 1900s, to the last few years when figures are up to around 260,000 a year. We've had the luxury here at Prince of Peace to gathered together either here or over the internet every week to hear the gospel message and, yes, sometimes even the law in all of its honest glory, without the pressure to change what we believe or water down what we say. We're very blessed. Now, that's not necessarily great news for us because in our freedom, we have been made to be lazy. When other Christians are boldly proclaiming Christ, despite the fact that it might cost them their freedom or even their life, we're hard-pressed here to even tell people we know about Christ because it might make us feel uncomfortable. Our freedom and our easy lifestyle have been a curse in many ways because it has stopped the message from reaching willing ears. Now, I could go on and try to shame you into action. I could have a fire and brimstone sermons on what sinners you are for not doing the right thing. I could, but I won't. Because I think you've already know where you fall short. I know If you're like me, you've beaten yourself up several times for not having the courage to reach out, even if it might make you feel a little at ease or ill at ease. Now, I'm not going to call your action as much as I'm going to inform you on why you should act. There are many good reasons to strive for righteousness, even if it means there will be persecution to follow. Because of the faith that they held so dear, most of the disciples faced the ultimate persecution for righteousness' sake. James, the son of Zebedee, was beheaded. Philip was thrown into prison and later crucified. Matthew was killed by a sword. Matthias was stoned in Jerusalem and then beheaded. Andrew, the brother of Peter, was crucified on a cross. Mark was dragged to pieces by the people of Alexandria. Peter, it is thought, was crucified upside down at his own request because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified like Christ. Paul and Jude were both beheaded. Bartholomew was beaten and crucified. Thomas was thrust through with a spear. Luke was hanged on an olive tree. Simon was martyred by crucifixion. And Barnabas, we don't know how he died, but he died in 73 AD. They all died for a cause. They all died because they refused not to do the right thing, the righteous thing. They were all martyred because they wouldn't allow themselves to hold back the truth. Because to them, as it should be to us, the message was that important. These brave men of God are now blessed with the inheritance of heaven because they were persecuted for righteousness' sake. So, why is righteousness worth being persecuted over, you ask? Well, Proverbs 21:21 gives us reason. It says, "Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor." Psalm 112, verse 6 adds, "For the righteous will never be moved, he will be remembered forever." Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And finally, we go back to Proverbs, this time chapter 10, verse 2. It says, "Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death." All good reasons to be sure. So, how is righteousness in God's eyes defined? Well, righteousness in relation to men is their conformity to a standard. In other words, if the world sets a certain standard for being a good citizen, it is right, according to the world, to conform to that standard. As we've seen, though, what the world calls right is not necessarily what God calls right. To be right in God's eyes is to conform into the image of his Son, who in turn bears the image of his Father in heaven. The righteousness of God is evident in the way that he consistently acts in accord with his own character. God always acts consistently. He always acts righteously. But he can't be defined by righteous as much as the term righteous is defined by God. God is not measured by the standard of righteousness. God sets the standard of righteousness. So to be righteous in God's eyes is to imitate the rightness of his character. In other words, if your actions separate you from godliness, then they are going to be considered unrighteous. Conversely, these actions which draw you closer to the likeness of God are the actions that would be considered righteous. Godliness is the goal of righteousness. But this kind of righteousness is a tall order for the imperfect of which we must claim a membership. How do we attain this kind of righteousness then in our very limited capacity? Well, we said this before. We do this the same way that we attain godly meekness and mercy and purity and peacefulness. We do this through Christ alone. 2 Corinthians 5:20-21. "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. So therefore, it is through Christ that we find our righteousness. It is through Christ that we find our strength to pursue righteousness. It is in Christ's name that we have been made ambassadors with the same agenda of those who were persecuted before us, who saw God's appeal worthy to suffer for. God reveals his righteousness by revealing his will and his word to the world through his people. To do this, however, takes the strength that only God can provide through his Holy Spirit within us. So here we are with the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together as one. Our intaking of his righteousness is a perfect explanation for how this works. There is one purpose under Christ, and every person of the Trinity plays a part in that one purpose to bring righteousness to the world. Yet all work through means, through you and through me, to bring about this great blessing. And in a world where the word and the will of God has become hostile to some who support the worldly definitions of righteousness, there is bound to be resistance. And with this resistance can come persecution. Yet that persecution doesn't lessen the urgency of the message. If anything, it heightens it. So we are therefore called to persecution, if that is the price that we must pay so that others might know of salvation. We are the means by which God spreads his wonderful gospel message. Yet to do that takes a certain strength, a certain willingness that cannot be found on our own. Therefore, God imparts on us his Holy Spirit, and it's been given to instill us with the might that we need, which in turn imitates the character of the Father himself, the Holy Trinity in unity, working towards righteousness. Our challenge then is to place our trust in the perfecter of our faith, who is our strength. Will it be easy to follow the calling towards righteousness? Well, God himself says very much the opposite. In John 15, he reminds us, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my words, they will also keep yours." Yet the message of salvation is so great that it's worth taking on the hatred of the world. The disciples certainly thought so, and they were eyewitnesses to glory. Every person needs to know what you know, that Jesus Christ is our salvation. Every person needs to have the opportunity to receive the same blessings that you've been given, because the message you have been given through our triune God has everlasting consequences. Yet the world has been influenced by evil, and even though the word is the best gift they could possibly receive, they continue to resist it. Our God loves you with a God-sized love, but so does he love the person who has become deaf to his calling. Our God sent you his Son so that he could be your righteousness, and he sent him to be the righteousness even to those who publicly condemn him. God opens his arms to welcome you to everlasting life with him in heaven, and those same arms reach out for those who want to persecute you for your beliefs. Our God is asking you to do the right thing, the righteous thing, even if it means that you're going to meet opposition. His words will be your words, and his Son will be your strength. Righteousness is worth the efforts because it's the very character of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen.